Welcome to Real Talk with Life After Grief, Chris, where we talk about relevant issues as it relates to individuals in grief as they navigate finances and the advisors who help them. We help clients in grief navigate financial matters. We also teach advisors how to emotionally and financially work with clients in grief through an unparalleled process. This week's podcast is sponsored by Life After Grief Financial Planning and Life After Grief Consulting.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Life After Grief, Chris. After recording several episodes of this year's theme, which is trauma, I was asked recently from a friend, what do you do to take care of yourself? You've been through a tremendous amount of trauma, and you are taking the steps to resolve a lot of the things that you've been through and get right, so to speak. So what do you do to take care of yourself, meaning specifically self-care? And I have really built on self-care for a number of years, I think because I've been forced to do it. I am going to first give some resources, and I've mentioned these over and over again in some of the previous podcasts, but I'm going to put them here. One of the ones is called The Body Keeps the Score. And it is by Bessel van der Kolk, MD. This one kind of mirrored my talks with EMDR and some of the specific therapy from professionals that any individual can go through to help resolve trauma that they've been through. Another one, which is a little bit less involved in regards to the trauma aspect, is called Total Leadership. I read this book 7 years ago, I guess it was. And it was really putting your life into balance, meaning your spiritual life with your professional life, with your personal life and or your family life, and making sure that there are circles. And sometimes you can have those particular circles and they don't intersect, which could be a problem. And how do you bring those to all intersecting? And an example of that would be my family is not necessarily intersecting, and I'm making a broad generalization, not necessarily my family, but your professional life doesn't intersect with your personal life. So an example that I have done recently within the last couple of years, try to figure out how to make those two jive. And specifically, I talk about my boys a lot. And what I've done is taken my boys to meet clients. And when I do speaking engagements for conferences, I make it now a requirement of the conference, if I'm traveling, to allow my boys in particular to come and watch me speak. And that's an example of how I intersect those two quadrants, so to speak, or those two circles. The other one that I talk about a lot is this self-care wheel. And I'm going to give some very specific examples within the self-care wheel, what I do, you know, what it kind of looks like. And recently, I was speaking to a friend, and one of the last episodes, I talked about racism and discrimination and how that's been traumatizing to me. And as I'm tracing back, there's probably more than 20 examples, very significant examples that I've traced that now I can say that are traumatic, and I had to deal with these. And so what do I do on a regular basis to manage my self-care? And I'm going to give these out loosely, and then I'm going to go into some specifics with regard to the self-care wheel. So I have what my sons call a group of uncles, and it is specifically a group of my minority friends that I can go and hang out with, and I hang out with them probably on a weekly basis, whether that's going to one of the uncles, quote, in quotation marks, their houses, or they come over to my house, that we can just be loose and real, and we don't have to candy coat things. We can talk about our real experiences, and it just feels very natural. I exercise on a regular basis. I also read. I get a massage every 2 weeks. Sometimes I go shopping. I don't really like to go shopping, but there's a store in particular that I like to go to. I'll talk about that a little bit later. I take myself out to lunch. And I also go to lunch with friends. A couple of Fridays ago, I pestered one of my best friends to go into lunch. I gave him a guilt trip, but I needed the time to selfishly go to lunch with him. And then I also go to church on a regular basis. I meditate every morning. I go to church every Sunday. So in talking about this self-care wheel that I've brought up, you know, a lot, and there are six different quadrants, and within each one of the quadrants, it talks about something very specific that you can do to take care of yourself. And I'm going to go through these quadrants. So the first one is psychological. And for me, I am a cerebral person and I do a lot of thinking. And I try to resolve things, but oftentimes if they're just going on in my mind, I know that I'm not going to be able to resolve them because of whatever is going on in my day-to-day activity. So what I do is I take that a step further, and specifically in the self-care wheel, it talks about journaling. So within journaling, I'm able to get my thoughts onto paper. And if you know anything about journaling, or if you've done any journaling in the past, you know that you just need to get it out on paper. That's the most important thing. I don't worry about punctuation. I don't worry about spelling. I don't worry about how it sounds. It is a free open space for me to write as I see fit. And it oftentimes releases anxiety for me. And I also resolve things and I come to some conclusions that I'm not able to ordinarily do in my mind just because of life. The kids are having some sort of a need or an issue pops up or something happens. The phone rings, you get a text message or something. So the journaling allows me to hone my focus and not be distraction. The next part of the wheel is the emotional component. And what I don't like to do is I don't like going shopping, but recently I have found a store. It's called 5-Eleven. And I will go there and I will splurge on myself. I might spend $100, maybe a couple hundred bucks. And I will go and I will buy shorts, shirts. I mainly wear dry fit stuff because I exercise a lot and it's just comfortable due to the weather here in Florida. But I find that it's therapeutic. I like going there. There's men that are generally my age that we just rap with and we just talk about stuff while I'm buying my clothes. Spiritual is the next quadrant. Having a spiritual mentor and finding a spiritual community. So if you've heard any of my podcasts before, you know that I have a spiritual mentor. His name is Father Leo. And I talk to him on a regular basis. He tremendously helps me out, and I've known him since I was 14, I think it was, somewhere in that realm. I'm also looking to take up yoga. And I have for a while heard some of the benefits of yoga. For me, mainly the mental aspect. And in reading, The Body Keeps a Score, they reinforce that yoga could be very mentally stimulating and easing on the mind, especially for folks that have been through trauma. So I'm willing to try it. Your personal quadrant, next quadrant, is fostering friendships. I've spoken about the uncles and how we foster those friendships. And so I also have another group. We're on more of a text message chain because dynamics, these are buddies from high school. And we keep in contact probably on a daily basis just through life, because we're geographically not close to each other. And so fostering those relationships, and I try to do that with a few other folks too that are not necessarily in those particular groups. And that makes me feel whole. And in the professional, the next quadrant, very important because we're all working. And I take time for myself. I take mental health days. I might not tell the whole world that I'm taking a mental health day, but I'm taking a day so I can regroup. And a lot of folks ask me, with the work that you do, you work with people in finance that exclusively who have had a grief, how do you reset and how do you not that let that bog you down? I set boundaries, and I've set boundaries very early on, and I'm very able to compartmentalize what a client is going through and not take that on for myself emotionally. I know if I do, that it's not going to be good for my client. So I put them in a box, so to speak, and I look at their situation from the outside. And I rarely take it home with me, so to speak, because I know that it's not healthy for my client or for me. Plus, I have so many other things that are going on, and I have this myriad of things to keep me grounded, so to speak. The physical aspect, which is pretty cool, and looking at the wheel, and I'm just reinforcing some things that I already do. So I get massages every 2 weeks. And because I exercise, and I can also tell that at some points too, the stress outside of physical exercise gives me aches and pains here or there. And so the massages really help, and I look forward to them. Sometimes I actually fall asleep when I'm in my massage place. I take time to also get regular medical care. So I am not foolish to think that I'm 20 years old, 21 years old, and that I could run through a brick wall. I realize that trauma, its toll on you, and I've been very methodical in taking time to understand the aspect and how that can affect you physically and emotionally, and taking good care of that aspect. And I take that a step further and I get good medical care because I can see times of heightened trauma or heightened stress, how it does affect me. And now I have a better appreciation of how I can monitor that and I can sideline that or channel it to resolve it. I think resolving it is a better use of wording there. So that's all about self-care, and I advocate it, and I think it's a great thing, and I think it keeps people grounded. And I think it makes for a better rounded person. And I recently had a conversation with my boys about taking care of yourself. And I said for a long time, anytime I had a major accomplishment, I never celebrated. And I never celebrated simply because I was worried about what was chasing me in regards to an unforeseen negative event. And that wasn't healthy. So now I do celebrate and I do good things for myself. I mentioned I take myself shopping. So to my 5-Eleven store. And I really look forward to that. And my sons actually just went a couple of weeks ago because I celebrated engaging a new client. And so I bought myself some clothes and it was pretty cool. And I had this whole conversation with my boys about what I used to do, why I didn't celebrate prior, and now they're celebrating with me. And I appreciated them coming with me. I hope you like this episode. Cheers, be well, and please provide any feedback as I've gotten before. I love hearing it. See you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you are a client and are looking to work directly with Chris and or our firm, head on over to Life After Grief FP. That is Life After Grief FP. The FP is for financial planning. If you are an advisor looking to emotionally and financially work with your client in grief, or if you are a client looking to get your advisor's head in the game, head on over to lifeaftergriefconsulting.com. That is lifeaftergriefconsulting.com. Any related information referenced in this week's podcast will be located here in the podcast section.